I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And as we get started, I'd like to share with you something that's happening here at Hope next week. I'm not too sure if you're familiar that Sunday, November 4th is National Orphan Sunday. And as a part of National Orphan Sunday, the group that went to Transnistria is going to take time to share their experiences next week. And also, Steve has prepared a message for us to challenge us out of Isaiah chapter 1. So hopefully you can mark that on your calendars for next Sunday, November 4th. Also, as we get started, just by showing of hands, if you'd like a Bible, we have ushers who would be glad to get you one. And also, if you came in today, not receive an envelope, if you could raise your hands for an envelope, because we'd like to make sure that each of you get an envelope. And if you haven't yet opened it, that's great. Don't open it yet, because there's going to be a time in our service where I'm going to ask you to open it, and then we'll go from there. All right, so Bibles and envelopes. That's what we're going to get started with today. So as Scott, thank you for doing that. As Scott is handing out Bibles and envelopes, we have been in a series called the Psalm of the Cross. And we have been looking at specifically Psalm chapter 22. And what we said from the beginning of our series was, we're over here, wow, you're really getting it, Scott. Way to go. And Ron over here as well. Thank you. Appreciate that. And we said that as we began our series, we said that our life circumstances are opportunities to live for God. Our life circumstances are opportunities to live for God. And as we saw last week, we saw that in the midst of David being ridiculed, in the midst of David's suffering and torment, he remained loyal to his heavenly Father. And so as we begin today, the question that I have for us is this: what are some things that we are invited to? So why don't we start over here? What are some things we're invited to? Just one. Birthday party. Thank you. What about in here? Weddings. Okay, those are the two big ones. Anyone over here? Something we are invited to. Christenings, showers, dinner. Oh, I love the dinner one. And so we're invited to many different things, aren't we? And so when we're given invitations, I remember when Tina and I, back in 2005, were invited to what's called the Passion Conference. The Passion Conference was started by a pastor author by the name of Louis Giglio. And in it, they usually do a three or four day conference where they gather college students, not only to take a time of worship and reflection of God, but to mobilize them to do missions locally and around the world. Now, they did one in Toronto in 2005, but they did one night event. And so one of the network churches of the church that we were a part of was invited to be a part, and they said, Jeff and Tina, would you like to come and work on the staff for that evening? We said, absolutely. So here's a couple of pictures, because a couple of the artists that were there were David Crowder, Charlie Hall, Chris Tomlin, and some of their music we sing here. So Nate, if you want to put that picture up of David Crowder and myself, that's a picture of a picture, but that's David Crowder. And then the next shot is as the students are starting to come in to the Rico Center. And then the next shot is when we got started. It was probably about 8 o'clock there. And then the last picture is the David Crowder Band leading in worship. And it was really interesting, because Tina and I were able to experience that. And one of my experiences was not just the night, but before, because we got to be backstage with all of the artists and Louis Giglio and their wives. And so we're standing there. I'm just like a giddy schoolboy, because, I mean, these guys I admire. And then David Crowder and those guys I admire musically. And so David Crowder standing next to me, and then they said, well, let's pray for the evening, and we want to pray for you all, and so on. And so I'm just like, oh, sweet. And then David Crowder puts his arm around me, and I'm just like, whoa, I don't know whether to hug him, give it, you know, ask for an autograph. But it was such an amazing time, and I was so glad that I was invited, and Tina was invited to be a part of that experience. And so today, as we talk about invitations, I want to talk to us about our faith in God, where we're going to look here at Psalm chapter 22, verses 9 and through 11. So at this time, I want you to open your envelopes up, because in your envelopes, you have been invited today. You have been invited today to be a part of something greater than yourself and greater than myself. So if you go ahead and open it, you're going to notice that inside your invitation is your outline. Okay, so your outline is in there, and so, but there are some things that we have been invited to, and we're going to get there in just a second. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't paying much attention to the copier, so when you see odd, 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 actually go ahead and put a G in front of that, because it's God is greater, not odd is greater, okay? So that's what happens when I go off and do other things while the copier is copying. But what we want to understand here in Psalm 22 today, when we talk about our faith in God, is this. It's the first fill in the blank today, is that God is there, and he invites us to join him. God is there, and he invites us to join him. I don't know about you, but sometimes when situations arise in my own life, I get what's called an Eeyore complex. Familiar with Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, you know, the big purple thing? And so it's like, all right, God, you know, there's stuff going on in my life, and I know you're really busy, but if you get a chance to show up, that would be really great. Okay, bye-bye. Anybody else in that situation sometimes where we get this Eeyore complex and we begin to feel sorry for ourselves? But yet what's interesting is that Psalm chapter 10 verse 14 says this to us. It says, "But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand." And I love this next line. "The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless." And I thought that was really special to read, because it said the victims commit themselves to you. And so that's what we want to see. When we talk about God being there, he is inviting us to join him in his work. So that's what we want to look at today, that you and I have been invited to be a part of God's work in our lives. Not only that, but that he is there for us. And today in verses 9, 10, 11 of Psalm 22, David is once again looking back at how God had taken care of him all of his life. Not only that, how David learned to rely on his Heavenly Father, who was there in that moment in his present situation. So let's take a look together at Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, again, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. And as you're turning there, this is a time, once again, where David is calling out to God, because David is feeling alone, he's feeling vulnerable, and he's feeling helpless. So together, Psalm 22, beginning with verse 9, it says, "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help." So once again, this emergency SOS, Mayday, David is calling out. And it's so powerful how he begins these verses with remembering how good God has been to him. And then he closes in verse 11 with, "Please be there for me." So what I want to do for the next few moments is talk to us together about when God is silent, an invitation. When God is silent, an invitation. What we want to do together is we want to look at God inviting us in those situations in our lives where we begin to ask the question, will God answer and will God be faithful? So together, if you're following along your outlines, the first invitation that we see here is an invitation to trust. An invitation to trust. Again, in verses 9 and 10, David is remembering how God had taken care of him all of his life. Not only that, he learned to trust God at a very young age. But the neat thing that we see here is that God had chosen David to do great things for him. I think many times for us is that we think of David as the one who killed Goliath, or David in his encounter with Bathsheba. But yet God had chosen him from the very beginning to be the one who is the king of Israel, to lead his people, God's people. And so what we see is that when we talk about an invitation to trust, and we talk about that God caring for David, God being there, I think about a baby, and the baby that has a dependence on its mother and father. And for those of you who have babies right now, you know, you're getting probably little sleep, and you're always having to feed the baby and change its diaper and trying to talk to it when it's crying and it can't talk back to you. But then as you see the child begin to grow, the child begins to grow in independence, and then they begin to get older, and you begin to continue to train them in just how to live life and how to have a faith in God and believing that he's there. And yet there are times where your kids, as they get older, they begin to do things that just either break your heart or they go against the very things that you have set in place. And I know in my stage of life, it's teaching that, listen, when you want the independence, responsibility comes with that as well. And I thought about a child's dependence on its mother and father from an early age. And I thought about, wow, I'm like that with God at times. I don't trust him enough. I know that he's there. I know that he's working for me on my behalf. But, you know, I need to get involved. And yet, I need to go back and remember when I had a faith like a child, trusting that God would make sure that I was fed, trusting that he would clean me up, trusting that he would get me where I needed to go. And yet realizing that as I got older, that, you know, when things begin to happen, and I began to look at those situations more than to my Heavenly Father, I began to see that I tried to control the situation and that I could trust myself to get it done. And yet, what we want to understand today is that when we've been given an invitation to trust, we can see this, is that God is greater than our current situation. God is greater than our current situation. It's having an attitude of childlike, not just childlike faith, but to a place of helplessness, to call out to God instead of looking inward, but to look upward. Not only that, but to trust that God has invited us because he has chosen us to be a part of a great work in our lives. Because again, as we have said each week throughout our series, it's for God's great name and for our good. God has chosen us. Not only that, he is the one who makes us secure because he is the one that we look to and not our situation. And when I think about that issue of trust that I have sometimes because I like to control things, I think of even with my own parenting. So it's like, all right, Tina, if you could take care of this today, absolutely. And Tina's taking care of a situation, and then Jeff jumps in, and it's like, well, and you know, Emily, X, Y, and Z. And then what happens? Confusion. Emily's looking at me like, what? And then Tina's like, what? And then, you know, what happens is that we're all confused and nobody's happy. And then I appreciate Tina. She's an awesome woman because she comes to me and she says, Jeff, did you say that I could do this? Yeah. Do you believe I can get it done? Yes. Then let me do it. Yes, dear. But the idea is that we can get into trouble that way, even with our Heavenly Father. And when he begins to say, I am here, did you trust me with this? Did you believe I could do it? Then let me do it. And so for you and I, what would be different in our day-to-day routine if we chose a childlike faith? If we chose a dependence on God and not our situation? If we would remember that he has chosen us to do great things for him? What would that really look like if we came to a place of surrender, helplessness, and commitment to him? The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 7, it says, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Let's be people who respond to God's invitation to trust him by responding with obedience to him during our situations in life. And let's continue to deepen our faith in him because he is the one who wants to grow us. And deepening our faith may be more time in prayer and being quiet. It may mean taking more time in his word. It may mean more time in connecting here at Hope. But he is there, and he has invited us to trust. The second thing we see here this morning is that we have been invited to believe. We have an invitation to believe. In verse 11, it's interesting because if there was anyone who could say, I have been the most faithful to God, it was David. And David's heart cry here was saying, please help me. And with that, David had really nothing left to hold out for. And he is now waiting for God to answer. How many of you have ever been on a flight where the plane had to be in a holding pattern? And they didn't say anything, but you kind of recognize you're kind of turning and then turning and then turning. You're like, oh, we're not going to land anytime soon. But that's where David was. David was in a holding pattern, waiting for God to answer his plea. You know, it's like at times where I'm guilty of calling Tina, and then I get her voicemail, call her, get her voicemail, call her, get her voicemail. And then I finally, by the fourth or fifth time, I'm like, if you could please call back, this is really urgent. I don't know, anybody else have had those, like, calling folks, and please call back, please call back. And then Tina gets home, and she's like, wow, there's like 9 missed calls here. Like, what was the big deal? I'm like, well, nothing really, but I just needed you. It was urgent at that moment. And yet we see that with David, right? He's like, please call me back, God. This is urgent. I am in great need. And yet, again, I'm going to read verse 11. It says, do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. What we heard last week was a lot of the New Testament, specifically in Matthew chapter 27. Bible scholars say that David was a Christ type, a gentleman who was pointing to the Messiah to come. And what's exciting, even this coming January, we're going to take a few weeks on looking at having a Christian's perspective of the Old Testament. We're going to talk about those Christ types that are in the Old Testament that point to the Messiah. But what I want to say to you here is this, is that Christ himself, when he took on the sins of humanity and died on the cross, he was suffering. Not only was he suffering physically, he felt abandoned by God. And he was separated spiritually from his heavenly Father. And in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 46, it says this. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, imagine with me, if you will, him hanging there and saying, Dad, where are you? And God's response was this. That was his response. In that moment, when his son took on the sins of the world, God was silent. He was silent because God is a holy God. And he has such a hatred for sin. But he was silent in allowing his only son to pay for the very thing that you and I should have paid for. God could have said, you know what? You're right, Jesus. You've done enough today. So let me take you off the cross. Let me clean you up, and we're going home. But he didn't. He was silent. And I'm glad at that moment God was silent. Because it should have been myself in my sin that should have paid instead of his only son. But the beauty of God being silent was that, as you know, each and every week that this is preached, Christ was buried. But on the third day, by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. And that's where our hope lies. If God wasn't there, I don't believe that would have happened. If God wasn't there for you and I don't believe we would be invited to the very things he's inviting us to today. Because we can get caught up, can't we, in our situations. And we believe, you know what, I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I believe that he's going to come back and take me home for eternity. But man, I don't believe he's around when I'm dealing with something right here and now. I believe all the other good stuff, but I don't know. But what came to my heart and mind was this. When Christ died, I realized that God was not an absentee father. He wasn't a deadbeat dad. He was one that said, my son will be the one who pays for the sins of the world. Thank God that God was silent. So when we have an invitation to believe, we can see that God is greater than our doubt. God is greater than our doubt. You see, in the middle of our situations in life, when we ask, will God be faithful? Let it be a time of worship to God. Let it be a time of worship, believing that he will do what he intends to do. And so the question that we can ask ourselves is, what if we really began to believe that God was there in our situations? What if we really began to be proactive in our faith, believing that God was present? So Rich prayed about, you know, Frankenstorm, right? How many of you prepared? How many of you got the batteries and the bread and the milk, right? And then watching everybody try to beat each other up in the store and so on. And looking for the handheld radio, right? You know, and those of you who were not at that time of handheld radios, it's actually you put batteries in it and you don't plug it into the wall or computer and it actually works in your hand, okay? But the idea is that we prepare for things. Listen, Sandy's coming, right? And we're like, oh my goodness, I better go get 72 hours worth of food. I better do it. And yet the very thing that we sit and talk about and the God that we worship, we go, well, you know, it's tough and I wish he was here. But what we can remember, as we've heard already these last few weeks, is that maybe we need to change our attitude and say, you know what, God is there and he's holding out for me in my commitment. Maybe it's changing our attitude and saying, you know what, I'm going to look through the biblical names of God to see how true he is in his word. And maybe it's finally saying, you know what, if I believe he's going to take me home for eternity, then I believe he's right here and now and taking care of the very situation that I believe he's absent on. So let's take time and respond to God's invitation to believe, acknowledging that he has, as we learned last week, he's there and he hasn't forgotten us. And to live by faith in him and not what lies in front of us. So when we talk about an invitation, when we talk about God being silent, we've been given an invitation to trust. We've been given an invitation to believe. Now, the question is for us, as we talked about the things we're invited to, right? And what typically comes with an invite? It's in your notes, so okay, yeah, right? An RSVP, right? And as I was reading about RSVPs, they said that nowadays, typically, it's regrets only. So you can't make it, but I'll be there or I won't be there. And as we talk about this response, I want to give us one more invitation that God is giving us today. And that is an invitation to live. An invitation to live. About a week and a half ago, our family watched Gina and Sean Fix's Kids. So we're sitting at the dinner table one night, and the word YOLO came up. And so if you're not familiar with YOLO, it stands for you only live once. So I asked, can you put YOLO into context for this old guy? And they said, sure, I can put it into context. Oh, I'm a teenager. I did something stupid. YOLO, you know, and then, okay, all right, that makes a lot of sense. No, go on YouTube. You should see all the YOLO videos, right? And I'm like, oh my goodness, really? And so it was very interesting. So then I said, okay, so YOLO, you only live once. Well, what about Yodo? They're like, who, what? And I was like, Yodo, like you only die once too, right? So why would you want to just do this stupid thing and then hope for the best, right? So I said, there's Yodo too. I said, that's just mine. I keep it, you know, maybe I'll copyright it or whatever and brand it. But then the funny one was one of the girls said, well, then there's Frodo. And Tina's like, oh, what's Frodo? She's like, oh, it's the Hobbit from Lord of the Rings. But the idea is here, is that you and I have been given an invitation to live. Why would we want to YOLO and then Yodo and then do nothing in between and live a life of reaction versus proaction? Why would we want to just hopefully, all right, I'll just get through today and survive and wow, you know, I think God was there because I got everything done and I don't see what he's doing in the background. I don't see what's working here. Why would we want to do that? Why would I want to do that? And yet what I see here is that you and I have been given an invitation to live. You see, God is greater than just getting by. God is greater than just getting by. Jesus said in John 10:10, which is probably familiar to many of you, but it says this, the thief, who is the evil one, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But he goes on to say, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And let me explain what we're not talking about here. We're not saying that, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus and my bank account's going to fill up and all my problems are going to go away and you know, what was broken is now fixed. And no, it's He that fixes that. He that mends that. And what's unique about this life that we can have in Christ is this. One, it's eternal. It's eternal in the fact that you and I, who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He died for the sins of humankind, that we have sinned against Him, and we are made right through His death, burial, and resurrection, we have eternal life. We will worship God forever. We will celebrate who He is forever. And what's also unique about this is that we can experience that life now. We can live a life to the full now, where we live life with purpose. We live for God's kingdom. We choose His ways over our ways. We base our decisions on what the kingdom is first, more than what Jeff or ours is first. That is living a life that is full, that Jesus came to give us. That invitation for all of us is to live today. And I don't know where you are with that, but maybe it's, you know what, you've never experienced what it means to have a journey, a faith journey with God. Maybe that's for you today, that you say, I want to live. I want a full life in Christ. And maybe you've had Christianity for a long time, and you're saying that, you know what, this thing, I really have a hard time with trust, I have a hard time with belief, and I don't really feel I'm living. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you've been living YOLO. But the invitation is for you and I to trust. The invitation for us is to believe. And the invitation for us is to live. You know, back at that conference, at the Passion Conference in 2005, it was really neat. The song that we sing here called Center, O Christ, Be the Center of Our Lives, they began the evening with that song. And what was interesting was the artist, Charlie Hall, said, as we start this evening, I want to let you know this is the first time this song has ever been done. And he said, it's the first time it's ever been done. It's never gone to album yet. Actually, the song went to album in 2006. But Charlie Hall said, what I want to do is I want to bring us to a place where we're coming to the presence of God and listening to the words and hearing the music play. It was just three guys with guitars. I began to think, wow, God, you know what? I'm a little off center with You. You know, and these words are making me realize that You want me to put You in the center of my life. You see, in Canada, we left in 2006 to come here to Hope Community Church in Willow Grove. And when the attitude changed and when I began to understand that it needs to be Him in the center of my life, we walked away from the sanctuary church, and we experienced 19 students give their faith, their lives to Jesus Christ. We were able to see a church started for youth. We had our own youth church that met 3 out of 4 weeks of the month. But it wasn't until Jeff said, I got to trust You, God, that You are working for my good. God, I got to believe that You are truly there, that You're not absent, that You're not preoccupied with 700 other things. You're busy, but You have time for me. And I thought about Center this past 2 weeks as I was preparing. And what's interesting is that the last time that I shared with you all was I shared some vulnerable things about my family life. And what was interesting is that this past Thursday, I received a text. And it was from our older daughter, and she stated this. My biological father has passed away from a terminal illness, and I wanted to let you know. It's like, wow, that's pretty heavy. And then I continued to read the text, and it went on to say, but you know what? I found out that my biological family has been looking for me for the past 5 years. It's like, whoa, that is really heavy. Oh, it gets better, because I couldn't script anything like this, okay? And then I go on to continue to read it, and it said this. It said, and I'm with them this weekend. So she's there right now this weekend. And so I was like, okay, I can be upset with this. I could, you know, just be like, yeah, whatever, sure. Yeah, that's great for you. Happy days. Go on, do your deal. But I showed the text to my wife, who is a great person to bounce things off of. And she said, you know what's interesting about that, Jeff? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, well, here's the thing. I've been praying that she would be able to connect with her family, her biological one. And I said, really? She said, oh, yeah, unbeknownst to Jeff here, you know, and which is awesome because she said this. She said, wouldn't it be neat to have that connection and to have some healing begin for her? It's like, you know what? You're right. And so in that moment, didn't look at the situation, but for a few seconds, but Tina and I thanked God right there. We said, God, you are just incredible. You know, no one, especially me, could script anything better. Do I know what's going to happen in the future? No. Here's the one thing I know. God's going to come and get me. I'm going to be with him forever. That's the only guarantee that I have. I don't know about you all. And so I share that with you because we have been given an invitation to trust. We have been given an invitation to believe. We have been given an invitation to live because God is there. As I shared moments ago, he's not absent. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's a heavenly father who loves us dearly and is saying, come take my hand and journey with me. I want to be the center of your life. And so when I think about that, I think about our invitations today, right? Now, I participated too, so don't think I'm trying to get you to do something that I'm not doing. But in my invitation, I see that there is an RSVP as well. And it says RSVP or no regrets, or regrets only, excuse me. And below the title, there's a line. And then there's trust, believe, live. And so I looked at that and I said to myself, okay, look what just happened this past Thursday, Jeff. So where are you with all this now? Because it's Sunday and you're going to be talking to people about your experiences. And so I wrote down here yesterday, I wrote family, what the future holds. And I put down trust. Because there are many times in my own life, and you, my family will tell you, I like to be in charge, sometimes too much in charge. And yet when we thank God for what he's doing in the very things we can't see, I said, wow, thank you for showing me that you can be the center of my life. Thank you for doing stuff that, okay, it's only you. It's only an act of God and your love for me. God, you chose me to do great things. It may be hard, it may be difficult, but I've chosen you. And so what I'm gonna do is I've asked Scott, where's Scott? Scott, if you could bring that board up. And a part of this morning is this. I'm gonna ask that maybe for you, you have a situation that's a past situation that hasn't been really maybe resolved in a healthy manner, or maybe there's past things that you're still struggling with. It may be present things that are going on right now, your current situation. Or it may be something in the future where you're saying, what if? In the next few moments, I want you to write that down. Just right there. And then just between you and God, you're saying, God, where do I need to do this with you in the center? And it may be trust, it may be believe, it may be live. It may be all three of them, but that's between you and God. And just as a symbol to say, you know what, I'm giving this to you today. Just pin it there. I'm not asking anybody to be embarrassed. I'm not trying to say, okay, let's read all the stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But this is our time of worship to God by saying, I want to surrender this to you, God. I give it up. I want to commit my life to you. We've been invited today. How are we going to respond to his invitation? Once the time is done, then I'm just gonna pray for these things, and we're gonna pray that we would truly let go and let God deal with those situations as he sees fit. And that we commit ourselves to him being the center. And when that's done, then we're going to take a time of worship together. And that'll be our morning. So I'm just going to ask that you go ahead and you just take just a few moments and write down that situation, that thing that you're saying, you know what? God, you are so off center. I have kept you so off center. But today I want you in the center of this, and I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to believe that you're working for my good, and I'm ready to move forward. I don't want to be paralyzed anymore by this one thing. We prepare for storms. Let's be proactive today. And as Rich prayed, that God would transform our hearts and our lives, that we wouldn't leave today as we came in. So this time is for you and the Lord. And when I sense that we need to come to a close, we'll do so, and I'll pray.